Morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama is Kuftes Vav. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is known as Ahmed Shmaslibe Gabriela Bashmuel. We have our work cut out for us today. We are on the very bottom of Kufyud Gimel Amud Beis. We're in the middle of Kufyud Gimel Amud Beis. And we are starting today with Gzeila Sakum and Aveda Sakum. Okay, it's sensitive gemaras that we've been covering over the course of yesterday and today. And it's based on a Mishnah. The Mishnah talked about the moches, the tax collector. The Mishnah says that it's unlawful for him to have collected taxes, and therefore all monies that are residing by the tax collector is considered stolen money. Consequently, you can't take money from him. You can't even exchange money for him. You want to give him a large coin for... you want to give him some small coins for a large coin. The Mishnah says that that is usur. As a result of the fact that it is, he's unauthorized and it's unlawful. The Gemara pitted this against the statement of Shmuel. Shmuel famously said, and we're going to hear the statement a number of times over the course of yesterday and today, Dina de Machusa Dina, I don't understand the law of the law. The law of the land is binding, and we are obligated to follow the law of the land, and so therefore the collection of taxes is not unlawful, and it's perfectly within the right of the government to do so. So why are we saying that? So the Gemara gives two possible answers in terms of understanding our Mishnah. Number one is that we're talking about a case where the tax is not at a particular rate. It's not a specific amount. And so therefore the tax collector will collect as much as he can. And that's unlawful. Or the Gemara says another possibility is that we're talking about where the government is collecting, but in an unauthorized manner. The led the Gemara to discussions about various aspects of tax collection by a non-Jew, tax collection by a Jew. There is a debate that we saw in the bottom of Kufi Gimel Amud Aleph between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva regarding if you have litigation with a non-Jew. So what exactly can you do in terms of taking him to court, taking him to a... and what kind of judicial system is going to be used? The Rabbi Shmuel is more liberal in his application of what laws can be used. Rabbi Kiva is more set and more cut. And Rabbi Kiva also says that you always have to take into consideration the issue of Kiddush Hashem, meaning that anytime you have any kind of exploitation, you're in possible violation of Chilul Hashem. And so Rabbi Kiva says that that is something that you have to take very seriously. Okay. We are starting in the Gemara with the words Amar Rav Bibi. We are on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. It's about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. The Gemara begins. Amar Rav Bibi Bar Gidol, Amar Rav Shimon Chasidik, Gezel Kanani Asr. Stealing from a non-Jew is prohibited. Aveda Asr Muteres. But if you find a lost item of his, and it's a question now of trying to find him and seek him, to that Rav Bibi says, I'm sorry. Rav Bibi says you don't have to do that. So Gzel also Damar Rav Huna, Minan Le Gezel Kanani Shu Asr. Now as far as Gzel Zeal is concerned, so the Gemara says we have a source for that. Shenemar v'achaltas kol amim asher Hashem lokecha nosein lecha b'zman shein b'surim b'yadecha v'zman shein b'surim b'yadecha. So he darshens the pasuk from Parshas Ekev. The Torah says, I think it's Veschanan, the Torah says that you're going to eat the nations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you, meaning that when you take rightfully yours, Eretz Yisrael, so you could take whatever properties are there, but otherwise you cannot take. So that's the source where Gzeilas Akum is clearly outlined as being Asr. Mind you, by the way, parenthetically, Rabbi Kiva had his own drasha there yesterday in terms of how we know that Gzeilas Akum is Asr. Okay, this is another drasha. And now as far as Aveda is concerned, Aveda so Muteris, Damar of Chama Burgeri, Amar Rav Minan La'Aveda so Kanani Shem Muteris, you find a lost item, it belongs to a Kanani, you do not need to return it. Shem Amar L'chol Aveda so Achicha L'Achicha Tamachzer, so he says it is a function of being achicha. But if it's not achicha, then you don't have to return it. So the Gemara says, wait one second. Maybe I might have thought that, well, if you see it, you don't have to pick it up. But if you picked it up, well, maybe then I have to return it. The Gemara says, no, Amaravino Matsasa de Asali Ade Mashma. No, Matsasa means you found it, meaning it's already in your hand. And still, the halach is that you don't have to seek him out and you don't have to find him. Tanya Rapinchas Ben Yair Omer Bamak Mishesh Chil Hashem Afilo Beveda So Asar. Again, Rapinchas Ben Yair says that if Chil Hashem is at play over here, where there's a possibility where you're going to hold on to the item and you'll be discovered of holding on to the item and you you will be responsible for Chil Hashem. So then under those circumstances, it would be Asr as well. Amr Shmuel Taus Muteris. Now, Shmuel says, what if it's a mistake? So in other words, Gzela, we've established as Asr. Aveda, when there's Chil Hashem, is going to be Asr as well. What about a mistake? You have to correct a mistake that was made. So Shmuel says, no, you don't. You don't need to correct this mistake. And the Gemara is going to tell us three stories back to back regarding Amorayim, who took advantage of a mistake. So Kihad Shmuel Zamami Kuti Lakana Didahava. Shmuel bought from a Kusi a gold bowl, Bemar de Parzala, now under the assumption that it was copper, meaning that the Mocher made the mistake, and the Mocher thought it was a Kusi who sold it, non-Jew. So he thought that it was copper, and it really was gold. And Bedali Zose, and he bought it for Dali Zose, and that apparently was a very cheap price for gold. And it was a mistake. Va'avale Chazuze. And also, he was, the way Rashi explains it is, that instead of having to pay for four, he paid three. In other words, another mistake that was made. So Shmuel took advantage of mistakes that were made. Rav Kahana Zava Mikusi Mea Esri Mechavisa. Rav Kahana also bought from a Kusi 120 barrels, presumably of wine, Bemea, and he paid for it what you normally would pay for 100. Now again, it was a mistake, and okay, so he took advantage. Va'avale Chazuza, and again, there was one Zuz that was missing, and took advantage of that mistake as well. Amrele Chazi Dalech Chasamchina, but he made sure that he told the Kusi that you know that it's your count, meaning I'm relying on your count. So you make sure you count the money, you count the barrels, make sure that you're comfortable with the numbers. Ravina Zavandikla Huvakusi Litzlacha. Ravina purchased a palm tree, and basically they were going to reduce it down to wood, and him and the Kusi were going to split the wood. So Amalei Lashami, so he turns to his attendant and he says to him, look, we're only going to share an equitable amount of pieces. In terms of the thickness of the tree, so go and chop down the lower portion of the tree for us, because that's the thicker portion, and leave him with the thinner portion. He's only interested in numbers. As long as the numbers are the same, so then we're going to be fine. So again, another incident, another story where you see that he took advantage of a mistake. Rav Ashi Avakaza Borcha Chaza Shipsha Degufna Bipardesa Vitali Bakitufa Dinve. The fourth story. Okay, I said three. Okay, I meant four. I didn't mean four. I meant, there are four stories. Okay, so Rav Ashi is passing by a vineyard, and he sees a cluster of vines kind of like hanging off the vineyard. So Amalei Shami, so he says to his attendant, Zil Chazi, Idikusi Ninu, I see, Idisol Ninu, Lo I see Li. So he gave instructions to his attendant, and he said it out loud, and he said, look, if it belongs to a Jew, don't get it for me, and if it belongs to a Kusi, so go ahead and take it for me. So now, Shama Ukusi De Havayasiv Bepardesa. So now the Kusi, who was sitting in the orchard, in the vineyard, overheard the conversation that Rav Ashi was having with his attendant, Amalei, and he said to him, Dekuti Shari? What? You could just take it just because it belongs to a non-Jew? So Amalei Kusi Shakol Demei, Yisrael Lo Shakol Demei. So Rav Ashi says, no, I can't take it. In other words, as we established earlier, a Gzeilas Kusi is Usser. What I was saying was that I wanted it, and I know that if it belonged to a non-Jew, so he would take the money. And so I would find a person to sell it to me. But if it belonged to a Jew, he wouldn't take the money from me. And I don't want that. I don't want to just simply take something that belongs to others and without having to pay for it. Okay. Gufa, the Gemara now is going to go back to the statement of Shmuel, and we're going to revisit. Amar Shmuel Dina de Mechusadina. So again, Shmuel says that the law of the land is binding, and we are required, as Jews, to follow the laws of the land, and specifically, taxes. In other words, if there's a collection of taxes, that is considered proper appropriation, and so we have to pay the taxes. So number one says the Gemara Amar Rava. Okay, and here, four statements of Rava. So statement number one, Amar Rava Teda Dekatli Dikla Vigashri Gishra Avrin Alayu. So the Gemara says, I know that Shmuel is right because based on practice. Our practice is that we use the bridges. That's our practice. Their practice is that they take their government takes trees from various people's properties, right, from private properties, and uses them to build the bridges. Now, if we subscribe to the idea of Dina Demachusa Dina, fine. So in other words, their governments have the right to do that. And so therefore, we can use the bridges. If, however, we don't subscribe to the principle of Dina Demachusa Dina, that means that their government is stealing. And because their government is stealing, so therefore, we shouldn't be using the bridges. Okay, that's Rava's argument. So Abai says, I don't know if that's such a compelling argument. First of all, it could be Yeush. In other words, it could be that the government stole. And as far as the owners of the trees are concerned, they're just simply going to lift up their hands, raise their hands and say, okay, they're the government, then they'll do what they want to do. And it's stealing, and but we're miyash. And maybe that's the principle. So Amalei ilo dina demachus adina eich miyasha v'halo ka'avre avde kedamar malka. So malka amar zilu v'kidlu mikobage v'inu azu v'kala michad bage. So Rava says in his defense, no, you're wrong. He says, because if it wasn't for the principle of dina demachus adina, the governmental agents are not doing what they were told to do. They were told to get wood from everybody, meaning the collection of wood was basically a form of tax. And it was meant to be taken from everybody, and they don't take it from everybody. They take it from one particular valley, and how could they do that? If they were, in fact were followers of the government, they should be taken from everybody. To that, Rava's response is Shlucha Damalka Kamalka. No. They are the emissaries of the king. Therefore, they are under the authority of the king. They are doing so as representatives of the king. And therefore, Lo Tarach Ve'inu Afsed An Navshayhu. So, and the truth of the matter is that yes, fundamentally, they should be taking from everybody's properties. And they should be taking trees from everybody. However, that's a lot of work. And they don't want to do that. So they'll take from one person's property and ibayle de inkut mikule bage, and they, meaning that one valley who was the sponsor of the taxes, who paid the taxes on behalf of everybody, he in fact is entitled and should get a reimbursement from everyone else in the community. So in other words, it's not right that he's paying the taxes. Not only is it not right, it's expected that he's going to get a reimbursement from everybody else. So umishkal dami, and he's going to take the value. So the Gemara is saying, so this is Rava sticking to his guns that you're right. It's true that when the government comes and takes the trees, they take it from one property. And I'm still going to argue dina demachusadina. I'm still going to say that the government is doing it within the right. And then by right, what that one landowner is supposed to be doing is he's supposed to be getting a reimbursement from everybody else because the government took the trees legally. Okay, that's one. Two, second statement to Rava. I'm Rava Manda Meshachach Bebe Dare Paramanasa Damalka. So the... let's say you have a group of people who were leaving their wheat in one particular silo. And everybody took out their wheat, with one person leaving his wheat there. And the king, or the king's agent, comes in and takes that wheat of that one individual. So it is expected, it's fair, that he's going to be receiving a reimbursement from the others for their obligation of paying the taxes. Rashi writes, Paramanasa Damaka, Bishva Kulam, Ulech Hashiavi Chavero, Enyachol Lama Shachahaya, Velo Shalanu. In other words, their friends cannot say, oh, well, that's just your bad luck. Meaning, we took the wheat out of the silo. It was just your wheat left. And sorry, and that was yours. They cannot say that. And on top of that, the tax collector who took it, and Rashi writes, and even if he was a Jew, in other words, tax collection was just simply another business opportunity. In other words, people made bids for the government to collect taxes on behalf of the government, and could have been that a non-Jew was the one who got the bid. It could have been a Jew that got the bid. And Rashi writes that even if the tax collector happens to be a Jew, that's also fine. Meaning that the money that he has in his hands, or in this case, the grain that he has in his hand, is not considered stolen goods. The dina d'malchus adina, because he was perfectly within his right to take it, he was collecting tax on behalf of the government. V'im kusi hu motel liknos mimenu, and if it's a kusi, so you could buy from him. Okay, and again, Rava's point is that this one guy whose grain was taken from the silo, he can go to all the other people and say, it was taken from me, but really it was taken from all of us, and I need a reimbursement. V'hani mili shutva, and the Gemara says that that's what we're talking now, where if these people all were partners. Aval. Arisa arisusehu dekamapik. However, if it was a sharecropper and it was a sharecropper's produce that was in the silo, he cannot demand a reimbursement. Why not? Because the sharecropper is not a landowner. So in other words, so he is, what was taken from him was simply his assets. But he was not a landowner, and so therefore he does not have the same tax. Real estate tax that the others have. Okay. Next. Third statement of Rava. Ve'amar Rava bar masa, a bar masa mi avet. If you have a tax collector, and again, even if he's a Jewish tax collector, so he can take security against taxes. Okay, so he can, and moreover, he could take securities from others in the community for taxes of other members of the community. Now the Gemara says, "Vahani mili dabar la ara v'karga dahi shasa." The Gemara says, "But that's only for current year's taxes." Aval shasa dechalif, but if it's past year's taxes, hol v'ifayis malka chalif. So the Gemara says somehow they got away with not paying last year's taxes or the year before. So therefore, the collector does not have that kind of collection ability, where he could take security, and he can even take security from others in the community for these people. Okay. Next, fourth statement of Rava. Ve'amar Rava hani dire dari. So if you have these people who were fertilizers of field, right? The beginning of the sixth parak of Baba Kama. Okay, not that long ago. Hakonison Ladir. We're talking about penning up an animal. So if you look back there, one of the mefarshim over there explained that. Why do you pen animals up in a super small enclosed area? So basically to fertilize the land. So over here, same basic idea, same word structure. Amareva hani de dire dare. We're talking about people who penning up animals for purpose of fertilization. So and they do this for a business, for a living. Meaning, so basically you call up the company, you say to them, can you and your animals come over to my property and fertilize my property? So he's going to bring all of his animals and then close them into your property, and good, fertilization taking place. However, problem is as follows. He comes in with a certain amount of animals, he may leave with a certain number more. And that would put him under the category of being a thief. And the Gemara notes, so if he does a besochat chum, also likach mehem. So if he's doing a besochat chum, so therefore you cannot take animals from him. Good chances are, that he has been collecting some additional animals in the course of him doing business. My time at mishum demar v'chiyusa demasa behadayu. Gemara spells it out, that he took some animals together with him. Chutz tchum, but if he does it outside the tchum, also likach mehem. So then the chances are less that he took other animals in conjunction with his own animals. Ravina makes a point which I think is kind of obvious, but if let's say, even if he is stationed outside of the tchum, and as he is now moving on, you see people running after him. Give me back my animal. So chances are now, good chance, is that he took from some of the local animals, and therefore you have to assume that all of his animals are stolen goods. Machris Rava. We're up to the fifth statement of Rava. The Itema Ravuna Desakan Laila V'Nachman Latasa. Anyone who's going up to Eretz Yisrael, anyone who's coming from Eretz Yisrael down to Bavel. Hi, Bar Yisrael Diadas Adus Lekusi. If let's say a Jew knows testimony on behalf of an Anju, Velotava Omine, and he wasn't summoned, he wasn't subpoenaed to go to court, V'Azav Asile Bedine, Dekusi Al Yisrael Chavre, and what does he do? And unsummoned, unsubpoenaed, he goes to court and he testifies, and now he's to testify on behalf of the Kusi, but the defendant is Yisrael and he's only one witness. Mishamtinan lay. So we put this person in excommunication. My time in the Gemara spells it out, the reason why. The Inu Mapik Mafki Mamona Apuma Dechad, because their legal system allows for extraction of money even though it's only one witness. And so therefore, you're doing something on behalf of a Jew that would not have happened in a Jewish court. In a Jewish court, one witness would only demand a shvuah. One witness would not extract money. So what you're doing now is you're testifying in a non-Jewish court on behalf of a non-Jew against a Jew, and you're only one witness, and you're going to be responsible for the extraction of money. So that person's going to be placed in the chayim. But if you're one of two witnesses, so then you should go. In other words, because under those circumstances, the same result would have resulted in a Jewish court and non-Jewish court. The Gemara says, now this is only true if it is a local court. But however, if it is a governmental court, right, and they are, quote unquote, a more official court, so so even there in the more official court, so they follow more like Jewish law. The judicial process, their system is more like Jewish law. Their extraction of money is only done on the basis of two witnesses, not on one, and with only one witness, they're only going to ask for a shvua. So the following question was posed to Rav Huna, either Rav Huna or Rav Kahana. Okay, two different girsos. But following question was posed. Let's say you're one person, but you're an Adam Chashav. And under their laws, normally, again, if you go to a government, to an official court, under their laws, they will not extract money from one to another with the testimony of one, only with two. However, they will make extenuating circumstances, notably if the person who's testifying is an Adam Chashav. So, if you're an Adam Chashav and you're going to go to an official court of theirs, and they're going to extract money based on your one singular testimony because you're an Adam Chashav. So should you not go? So the Gemara says, on the other hand, you're an Adam Chashav, which by definition means it's hard for you to duck because everybody knows who you are. Take it. Gemara leaves that question unresolved. I'm Rav Ashi, Hai Bar Yisrael, Dezavim Lei Arel, Aviko Chavim, Amitzu De Bar Yisrael, Chavim Mishamtin Alei. Other times where there will be an expectation of excommunication is where, let's say, for example, a Jew sells his land to a non-Jew, and now he creates a... He now allows for his former property to be abutting the property of another Jew. And basically, he's causing a Jew to be right up against a Kanani. So, So for that person, we put him in chayim. Now, my time, the Gemara says, now let's spell this out. Now, does it have to do with the halacha of Dina Debar Metzra, which we're going to be discussing later in the Bavas? And that is the halacha that when you sell a property, you should first turn to the neighbor and ask the neighbor first, do you want to buy the property? And he has first right of refusal. So that's the halacha of Dina Debar Metzra. And maybe that's the reason why. But the Gemara says, and again, we're going to see this later in the Bavas as well, which is that the halacha of Dina de Bar Mitzvah simply does not apply to a Kanani. So the Gemara says, no, it's much simpler than that. In other words, I had a good neighbor. Now you're putting somebody on me who the Gemara describes as a lion. So now, basically, I'm in a position where my security has been diminished as a result of the fact that you now sold your property to a Kanani. Now my property is right up against the Kanani's property, and for that reason, the seller is being put into a form of chayrim. So and when is the chayrim going to be lifted? When the seller finally agrees that if anything were to happen as a result of the sale, I will make personal responsibility for anything that happens. Okay. On Kuf Yudal Amud Aleph, we are now at the Mishnah. We continue. Natlu Moksim Es Chamor V'Nasan Lo Chamor Acher. Let's say the tax collector takes the donkey from you and comes back and replaces it with another donkey. Natlu Lissim Es Kesusa V'Nasan Kesusa Acheres. Right, robbers came and bandits came and took your clothing, and then, you know what, they came back and they said, you know what, felt terrible. We're going to return to you. Now, not the same, obviously, because we sold that. But we're going to give you others. So, in these two cases, we're obviously discussing scenarios in which you have been given stolen goods. Hare elu shalom imnei shabala mitziashim ehem. Says the Mishnah, you can consider them your property because the original owner had yesh. Next, if somebody were to save you from a river, from bandits, or from robbers, so he picked up items from the bandits, from the river. So he picked up an item from the river, from bandits or from soldiers. So if the owners had yeish, so they belong to you. V'chein, and similarly, nechosha divarm, if you have now a swarm of bees, imnis yashu hara elu shalom, if the original owner has given up hope on getting back his swarm of bees, so then you can say that you are now the owner. Amar Rav Yochanan ben Broka, nemenes yishal katan, lomar mikan yasa nechilz that. Rav Yochanan ben Broka says that a woman or a minor can testify that the swarm of bees came out from this particular location. Gemara is going to discuss that later on. So if, let's say, your swarm of bees now goes onto someone else's property, and you now have to walk into that other person's property, so any damage that you do, you have to pay. However, let's say your swarm of bees have found a branch in your neighbor's property, and they now have called that home. You cannot go onto that person's property and cut off the branch, even if you're going to make reimbursement of the branch. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Amar Af Kotz Tzitz Venos in his damim, and Rabbi Shmuel disagrees with that point. No, you can. You can cut the branch. You'll reimburse for that branch, but you could do so in order to get back your swarm of bees. Okay. We start with the Gemara. The Gemara discusses the first halacha of the Mishnah. First halacha of the Mishnah is where the moches took a donkey away from you. We are talking about where it is put under the category of theft. Hands you back a new donkey, so the Mishnah says you can consider it yours. Tana, im natal machzir labalim harishonim. So if you were to take the donkey from the moches, so you should give it back to the original owner. This is the opinion of the Braisa. Now, this Braisa is subscribing to what viewpoint? Kasavi Yesh Kedi Lokani. The author of the Braisa is of the opinion that Yesh by itself is not going to be Kona. Umi Karabi Sarasiliade. And that means now that the original owner, where the donkey was taken from the tax collector, illegally, unlawfully, is now not having Yesh if he's not experiencing Yesh, and he thinks he's going to get back the item. So therefore now, when the tax collector gives it to you, so it is still considered not yours, and you are not Kona. That is one version of the explanation of the Braisa. Igadam the Gemara brings the second version. If you want to return it, meaning Rashi describes you as a chassid, meaning you're a special guy. So under those circumstances, you should return it back to the original owner. My time at Yesh Kedi, Kane. So the Yesh by itself is going to be kona. Mio e amar e afshi b'mam shen shali machzir labalim rishonim. If you say that you don't want money that doesn't belong to you, so then you can return it back to its original owner. Obviously, this Braisa argues with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah obviously works with the assumption that Yeish and Shina Rishus is going to be a Kenyan. That's how Rashi sets up that the Mishnah and Braisas are at odds with one another. Hare elu shalom ibnei shehabalim amar Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi explains, we're now going to try to make distinctions between who the robber is. The robber being a non-Jew versus the robber being a Jew. In our Mishnah, we learned together that if you were to take something from the listim, so you can rightfully claim that it's yours, because the likelihood is that the owner, the original owner, has given up hope. Now, on this point, Rav Ashi says, I could see a difference between the bandit being a Jew versus a non-Jew. So, listim, I see the Mishnah only talking about the case of listim over dikochavim. But if it's listim, he saw laws. Why? Savla machin akina lebedina. Because if the robber was a Jew, so I'll just simply say to myself, okay, I'll live to see another day, and I'll take him to court tomorrow. So in other words, there's not yesh on the part of the original owner. Rav Yosef says, if you want to make an argument, I can hear the argument going in the exact opposite direction. Look, when you are having a non-Jew, and now it's a question of taking him to his court, so his court is dinai begise. Rashi explains that to mean that that they rule with an iron fist, right? Rashi begava uvizroa. So lomiyash. So now, if you're the victim of such a crime, so on one hand, you know, right? You know who took it from you. You're going to take him to court, and if I'm taking him to a non-Jewish court, I'm going to get my money back. However, Yisrael came into Amri Meimar Miyash. But if you go to a Jewish court, so what do we excel at as Jews? So we excel at talking. And the sorry. So I could have skipped that opportunity. It was hard to. So the when the Jewish court issues a ruling, so their ruling is basically it's a court ruling, but that's it. In other words, and now the court rules that he has to give it back to me. There's still collection. I still need to collect it. And yes, the court will certainly help me in terms of collection. And as we discussed the last number of days, there are seizures and there's adrachtas and there are ways of doing so. But remember we just spoke a couple days ago, 90 days to wait for him to sell it. Okay. In other words, it's a process. It's a long process. And you know what? Forget it. I'm not getting it back. So Ella Yidmar Sefa Yidmar. So therefore, as far as Rav Yosef is concerned, I think it goes on the following. In. So if you recover an item from a non-Jew, from a bandit, so im nisyashu abalim, if the owner had despair, so stama lo. Now that means then that what's our default? The default setting is that the owner did not have despair. Lo shanu ala akum, and that's only because who was the bandit? It was a non-Jew. Mishum de dani begaisei. And now, explanation. Yeah, because if the non-Jew was a bandit, so now the original owner never lost up hope because I'll take the non-Jew to a non-Jewish court and I will get it back. Aval listen, Yisokim, Damri Meimar Miyash. But if the bandit was a Jew, so then the chances of me getting it back, I'm going to take him to a Jewish court and then we're going to go through the process and who knows. So the Gemara says, under those circumstances, I'm going to be Miyash.
How do you know that the person is not Jewish?
I mean, if we're talking about a bandit, we're talking about a bandit, so you know his identity. So, yeah, right. Okay, Tanan Hasa, Mishnah. Orish Shabbal Abayis Machshava Metamasam. Now, as a general rule regarding Tumas Kalim, the kli in order to be Mekabel Tuma has to be a finished product. Now, finished product can sometimes be subjective, meaning that even though it's a hide, it could very well be that the hide just simply cut off the animal will service me wonderfully. I knew the rug. All right, it would make for an excellent bed sheet. So sometimes when you have something where it's somewhere between raw and a finished product, so what is going to determine whether it's going to be mekabel tuma, a machshava? Meaning if the owner of the item has decided, this is now, I'm going to make usage out of this in its current state, now it's going to be subject to Kabbalah Satumah. Okay, basic rules. And with that basic rule, so we're going to now learn a Mishnah together. Arush of Alabais, if we're talking about the hides belonging to owners, Machshava Matamasam, because he's the owner, so therefore his Machshava will determine whether or not it's Mekabel Tumah. Vishal Avdan in Machshava Matamasam, but as it relates to a tanner, so as Rashi explains, the tanner is not planning on keeping it, he's planning on selling it. And so therefore, even though, yes, he's currently the owner, but being that he knows he's not going to retain it, so therefore his machshava is not going to be significant. Shel Gazlan, now, Mishnah continues. What if the hide is, quote-unquote, owned by a Gazlan? Right? In other words, the Gazlan took it. So, ein machshava matamasan. He's not considered the owner. He needs to return it. Vishal ganav machshava matamasan. But if it's a ganav, so then he's considered the owner. Now, the difference between Gazlan and ganav, as we've discussed time and again, we saw at the end of the seventh parak of the Masechta, is that a Gazlan does not hide his identity. A ganav hides his identity. And here's the Tanakhama's viewpoint. Tanakhama says that if he's a Gazlan, that means that the victim knows who it was. And the victim's going to get it back, or at least he's going to try to. So therefore, there's no yeish. And that's why the Gazlan is not considered the owner. The Ganav, on the other hand, I don't know who took it from me. Right? The guy came in the middle of the night, took it from me. I don't know who did it. And so therefore, the Ganav is considered the owner because we can assume yeish. That is the Tanakhama's opinion. Rabbi Shimon says, we're going to flip everything. Rabbi Shimon Omer Chilaf Advarim, Shagazlan Machshava Matamasan, Shaganavain Machshava Matamasan, Lefishlo and Siashu Habalim. And Rabbi Shimon's argument goes in the reverse, and it goes like this. If the bandit is such a bad man, where he is not hiding his identity, and he's basically saying, I'll take that, thank you very much. So basically, you realize, oh, he doesn't care. I'm not getting it back. Even though I know exactly who it is. You give up hope. Masha'in came with the Ganav. look, that guy really is, he's not tough. Meaning, and by virtue of the fact that he comes into my house, he takes my things, and he doesn't even identify who he is. I'm going to get it back. I'm going to find him, I'm going to get it back. So Rabbi Shimon says that the psychology works just the opposite in terms of Yesh. So here in this Mishnah in Kalim, we really have a basic machlokas of what is the default assumption regarding Yesh. The Tanakhama says, by Gazlan, no Yesh. By Ganav, yes Yesh. And Rabbi Shimon says exactly the opposite. Amar Ula machlokas bistam of Abi Yadua, divrei kol Yesh kani. So, as far as this machlokus is concerned, where we have a distinction between a ganav and a gazlam, the whole debate in the Mishnah is only where we did not hear the reaction of the original owner. There's a debate. However, if we heard the reaction of the original owner and he says he was miyayish, so then there's yesh, and yesh by itself is going to be kona. Rabba Mabiyadur Nami Machlokas. Rabba says no. Even in a case where we hear Yesh, there's still going to be a Machlokas. Even if he says he's Miyayish, but still, according to the Tanakhama of the Mishnah and Kalim, the victim of a Goslin still thinks he's going to get it back. And according to Rabbi Shimon, the victim of Geneva thinks he's going to get it back, even after he declared Yesh. And there's still going to be a machlokas, even if we know otherwise. So Abai says to Rabba, look, I know you're challenging Ula, but don't. Don't challenge Ula. Did not be Masechtin Kava say, Lefish Lois Yashu Abalim, because let's take a look back at our Mishnah. Now, our Mishnah is talking about Listim. Now, Listim are bandits, but at the same time, however, Listim are bandits. So we know who they are. They are Gazlanim. And what does our Mishnah say? Lo nisyashu abalim. Time at lo nisyashu abalim. Aval nisyashu abalim hare elu shalo. So now from our Mishnah, we assume that the owner did not have Yesh. But if the owner did have Yesh, so then it belongs now to the Gazlan. Amale Anan Lefi She'ein Yesh Labalim Masdisin Le. So he says, oh, that our Mishnah? Don't worry about our Mishnah. In other words, the proper way to understand our Mishnah is that there is no Yesh as it relates to the owners. Meaning that the owner thinks he's always going to get it back, regardless of whether he wasn't Miyash, whether he was Miyash, he always is of the belief that he's going to get it back. Okay, tonight. Not Lumachzim, Chamaro. We turn to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah now describes where the tax collector gives you a donkey. Money. Irabani Kashikazlan, Irabi Shimon Kashikanov. Now, in our Mishnah, we're talking about a Moches, we're talking about a Listim. So, so it would seem like our Mishnah is describing Yeush both for a Ganav and for a Gazlan. So now, who's the identity of our Mishnah? Meaning, because as we learned, according to the Tanakhama, only by a Gazlan is there, only by a Ganav is there Yesh. And according to Rabbi Shimon, only by a Gazlan is there Yesh. So the Bishlam, Ula, Dam, Rabbi Yadua, Kani, Hachaname, Biyadua, Vidivra, Kol. So according to Ula, we have a very simple solution. And that is, we know that there was Yesh. And Ula said, once we know there was Yesh, once we hear the victim say, I am Miyayesh, so then everyone's in agreement that there's Yesh, and therefore you're going to be Kona. El, Rabbi Dam, Rabbi Yadua, Nami, Machlokas. But according to Rabbi, who says that Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama are arguing under all circumstances. So then our Mishnah is not going neither like the Chachamim nor like Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, "Listim Mizuyim, Rabbi Shimon." He. So the Gemara says, "Well, you know what? Our Mishnah could be talking about Listim Mizuyim. They were armed bandits. Armed bandits are considered gazlanim. So he achiyin a gazlan. So the Gemara says, "Well, if they're armed bandits, so then the Listim and the gazlanim are one and the same." The Gemara says, "Trei gavne gazlan." So the Gemara says, "Okay, you're right." Meaning, two different types of Gazlan. I mentioned the Mishnah, but our Mishnah is focusing on Gazlan. Tashma. Here we turn to another Braisa. And this Braisa describes how now, if you have a Ganav, or a Gazlan, or an Anas, an extortionist. So in any one of these three scenarios, Hektesh, if they were Maktish something, it belongs now to Hektesh. Uchumas and Chumo, Masr, Masr, Masr. And we're talking about their stolen goods. And basically what we're learning now is that their stolen goods belong to them. Because of the principle of Yeish. Now, simple question. We're talking about a ganav and a gazlan. Now, once again, the Mishnah in Kelim has a machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon. But it's one or the other. It's not both. So, money. E Rabban and Kasha Gazlan, E Rabbi Shimon, Kasha Ganav Bisham, Ula Dam Rabbi Yadua Kani, Hachanami Biyadua Vidivri Akoli. So, according to Ula, we'll say that we know that there was Yesh, and he says once we know, then there's no debate. But Ella Rabba Dam Rabbi Yadua Nami Machlokas, Hamani Lo Rabban of Lo Rabbi Shimon. But according to Rabba, where even if we know, he still thinks there's a machlokas, so then and that Bryce is going like neither. Hachanami Ballista Mizrin. So the Gemara says, yeah, bandits over there means armed robbers, which means that they're Gazlanim. Rabbi Shimon, he, and that is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Ihachianu Gazlan, and the Gemara says, again, Tre Gavni Gazlan. So the Gemara says, yes, it's Gazlan repeated, but there are two different types of Gazlanim. Ibai Samahamasis and Rabbi, he did Tanya Rabbi Amar Ganav Kigazlan. The Gemara now introduces us to another opinion, which is the opinion of Rabbi. Rabbi says, a Ganav and a Gazlan are equivalent in terms of the halachas of Yesh. Now, at this point, we don't know in which direction. But we do know, however, that he levels the playing field. V'kaimalan tig gazlan l'Rabbi Shimon. Now, the Gemara tells us that we're going to see later on, the Gemara here kind of like spoiler alert, like foreshadows, that what we mean is that a ganav is like a gazlan according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that by a gazlan, Yeush is Yeush will create a kinyan. So the same thing is going to be true regarding a ganav as well. That is Rabbi's viewpoint, where they're equivalent, and equivalent meaning Yeush will be kona. Gufa. Rabbi Omer ani ganav ki gazlan. So now, after the Gemara gave away the answer, then the Gemara now goes through the question of when he said they're equivalent, in which direction. Rabbi Omer, I'm sorry. So Rabbi Omer ani ganav ki gazlan. Ibai lehu gazlan de rabban kamar velo kani. Odiyama ki gazlan de Rabbi Shimon kamar vekani. So in which direction did Rabbi mean that they're equivalent? So Tashma. So the Gemara now will try to answer this based on the following brises. Not lemochsin chamar vechulei. So we turn to the case of the tax collector who unlawfully took a donkey and replaced it with another donkey. So now money. Rabban kasha gazlan. Rabbi Shimon kasha ganav. And again, the Mishnah mentions both a gazlan and a ganav. And iamar bishlam Rabbi ki gazlan. So the Gemara says, "Hamani Rabbi he mishum hachikani." Now, if Rabbi meant that they're both equivalent in that the yeush of both is going to create a kinyan, perfect. Now we have an explanation in the Mishnah. Ela I amar ki gazlan de rabbanan kamar velo kani hamani lo Rabbi velo Rabbi Shimon velo rabbanan. However, if Rabbi says that they're both not going to be kona, so now the Mishnah says that the moches has acquired the donkey, and when you take it from him, he belongs now to you. So our Mishnah, if Rabbi is saying that Yeush is not kona for Ganav and Gazlan, so our Mishnah is not going neither like Rabbi, nor like the Chachamim, nor like Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, "Hachem b'maiskin b'listim mezuyin." Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara deflects, and the Gemara says, "Yeah, but when the Mishnah said listim, it didn't mean it meant arm robbers, meaning they were gazlanim. I hachi hayne gazlan, treigav ne gazlan." So the Gemara says, "Okay, two types of gazlanim. Tashma haganav gazlan v'ha nasek deshin ekdeshim v'chumas v'chuma uma asros and meiser." Second time we're hearing this brisa today. Money. E Rabban Kasha Gazlan, E Rabbi Shimon Kasha Ganav, E Amart Bishlama, Ganav Ke Gazlan, Rabbi Shimon Kamar Misham Hachi Kani. So again, if what Rabbi meant is that they're equivalent, meaning that equivalency equals Yeush being Kone both by Ganav and Gazlan, that's perfect. Ela E Amart Ganav Ke Gazlan, De Rabban and Hamani, Belistim Mizuyim, Rabbi Shimon He. So again, the Gemara says it could be that Listim over here meant Listim Mizuyim, and we're going like Rabbi Shimon He, Hachi Hainu Gazlan. Well, isn't that the same thing as Gazlan? And the Gemara says one more time, Trey Gavne Gazlan. There are two types of Gazlanim mentioned in the Brisa. And a third attempt to explain what Rabbi meant. Amrle Ravashi Larabba Tashma Damasi Rabbi Larabbi Shimon Brei. Rabbi's teaching a Mishnah to his son. Lo Davashesh Bachrais Mamishallah Filaparva Kharish Bachamar Machamar Kharav Chayavan Lahakzim Ne Kavod Avihim. Remember the first Mishnah of the 10th Perek. Right? We did this a couple days ago. Where the father stole. The father now leaves it over for his son. Animals. In other words, people know that the animal belongs to the father, that has to be returned. Why do they have to return it? Because of the mitzvah of kibbutz. Halav kavod aviyam lo. Now, had it not been for the mitzvah of kibbutz, you don't have to return it, meaning the father owned it. On what basis did the father own it? Shmamina, Rabbi Gazlan, Rabbi Shimon Kamar, Shmamina. Because the Mishnah is being taught by Rabbi. Rabbi's opinion is that Ganav and Gazlan are equivalent, and since they're equivalent, so therefore there's always going to be a kinyan through Yeush. Okay. V'chein nechilso debarmai v'chein hachi kamar. Now the Mishnah adds on to this case a swarm of bees. Why is that so? What's the chiddush over there? Afil nechilso devarim dekinyan derabbanan hu. So the Gemara says because when we say that you own a swarm of bees, meaning you don't have them trapped in any type of cage. In other words, they are organically living on your property. And yet, the Chachamim allow you to claim ownership of it. And this is what's referred to as a kinyan derabbanan. Right? I'll give you another example. We've had this elsewhere. Right? By birds living in your birdhouse. Right? You have a birdhouse on your property. And the birds are coming to your birdhouse. So, are they your birds? No. In other words, you don't have them caged up. In other words, they just simply happen to be on a birdhouse in your property. Yet, we learned together back in Gittin that nobody's allowed to come onto your property and take those birds. And why? Because of Darchei Shalom. And right, so that basically will keep the peace. So here, with the Nechil Shel Devarim, the swarm of bees, it's the same basic idea. They're living on your property. You can at least rabbinically call them yours. So now, so since your ownership of it only exists on a derabbanan level, so I might have thought that bayesh by itself is enough to break what is already a very tenuous ownership. So So the Gemara says no. In other words, if we know that the owner was miyash, so that's fine. But we will not assume yesh, even though the beginning of the ownership is only built on a derabbanan platform. I'm Rav Yochanan Brokan, Nehemanis, Isha V'katan, Isha V'katan, Menei Edus Ninu. Gemara asks the obvious question. The Mishnah says that the identity of the swarm of bees can be identified by either a woman or a child. The Gemara says they are not they're not B'nai Edus. They don't give testimony. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Shmuel, Hachem B'mayiskin, Kigon Shayu Ba'alim, Meradfim Achareihem, V'isha V'katan, Mesichin Lefi Tuman. So here the Gemara invokes the principle of they weren't testifying, they were just giving information matter-of-factly. And under those circumstances, one can take what they say as credible. The Omer Mikanyas and Nichilzeh, and they can say, well, that's one of these came from that particular property. Am Ravashi Mesiach Lefi Tuma Kasha Ela Edesisha Bavad. Ravashi says, no, this principle of Mesiach Lefi Tuma, of speaking matter of factly, only operates in the end of Mesiach Yevamos regarding Edesisha, where a man went away, did not come back. We don't know what happened to him. We don't know his whereabouts. The woman is an aguna. Under those circumstances, if you have somebody coming back reporting Mesiach Lefi Tumo, so then you can listen to them, but only under those circumstances. So the Gemara says, well, what do you mean? That's the only place? We just learned in our Mishnah, in Baba Kama, on Kuf Yadalid. We just learned together that Mesiach Lefi Tumo works by the child, works by the woman. So the Gemara says, Nechil Shel Devarim, Dekinya Derabbanan Hu. I'm sorry, Dekinya Derabbanan Hu. The Gemara says, yeah, but Mesiach Lefi Tumo works because, remember, the entire idea of ownership only begins on a Derabbanan level. So since the level of ownership is a lower level ownership, so therefore we're going to be a little more lax in terms of allowing quote-unquote testimony. Uderai Salo, the Gemara says, really, Vahama Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Maisa Ba'adam Echad. Shaya Mesiach Lefi Tumo. A person was just simply saying matter-of-factly, Va'omer, and he made the following declaration. I remember as a child I was on the shoulders of my father, and he took me out of school, and he took off my clothing, and he told me in the mikvah so that I would eat truma and la'arev for that evening. In other words, somehow he was tummy for the day, and so dad took him out during the day in order to prepare him to eat truma that night. And my friends would stay away from me, and they would call me names, I don't know, right? Bad names. In other words, I would eat challah, right? The portion that was dedicated to the kohen. Valu Rabbi Lakun Alpiv. Now, when Rabbi heard this report, and apparently there was no other corroborating information, Rabbi said, "Okay, he's just talking matter-of-factly, and therefore we're going to elevate him to kahuna." And this is all done on Mesiach Lefi Tumo. So the Gemara says, "B'truma derabbanan." The Gemara says, "Yeah, but all Rabbi allowed him to do was eat truma derabbanan." Next, Ve'akati daraita lo v'haki asa Rav Dimi amar Rav Chana kartigna ve'amri la Rav Acha kartigna mishtai maisa balifne Rav Yishu ben Levi. The following episode took place in front of Rav Yishu ben Levi like as follows. Ve'amri lo v'amri la maisa balifne Rabbi betino gecha. Okay, various versions of who said it in front of whom, but here's what happened. Shayamasiach lefitum of Amr. Ani v'yemin nishmin lebein ha'akum. Me and my mother were taken into captivity amongst the non-Jews. Yatzas l'shov ma'im dati al-imi. And I always kept an eye on my mother. Look, odetim dati al-imi. Ve'hisiyo Rabbi al-piv l'kahuna. And based on matter-of-fact testimony, Rabbi said, okay, go ahead, you can marry kahuna. So the Gemara says, bishvuya hikilu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's talking about captivity. And as we discussed back in Suvos, there are a number of leniencies that are directed towards someone who was taken into captivity. She had a cheskas kashrus, so that coupled with mesiach lefitumo allows for certain leniencies. Avaloi kosis socho tanya Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer tenai basin hushia yor lesoch sadish chavero vekotzit soch shachaver latzios nechilo. It is one of the stipulations of basin where you have the right to go onto somebody else's property, and if your swarm of bees attaches themselves to somebody else's tree, you can cut the branch, take your swarm of trees back, and reimburse them. Venoto demei socho mitoch nechilo shel chavero. So that was the stipulation of basin, meaning basin basically enacted laws so that people will be nice to one another. Furthermore, honey is more valuable than wine per ounce. I say that not on current market values. I say that just in terms of understanding the Gemara. So, the somebody's honey jug breaks, and the honey now is flowing out. So what you should do is that you should take your jug of wine, dump it, and save the honey. Shachaver v'noto demayona mitoch duvshana shachaver v'tanai beisin hushi mafarikas eitzav v'torn pishtan shachavero v'noto demay eitzav. And let's say the flax, which is much more valuable than your wood, is now going away, falling away. So you should pick up the flax, put it on your wagon, even if it means you're going to lose your wood, and mitoch pishtan shachavero. And again, you'll get reimbursed, but you should do these things. Basically, good Samaritan laws. Shamanaskin in Chol Yeshua Yisrael Esaaretz. Yeshua did this as part of the acquisition of land, meaning that he legislated that we be nice to one another. Okay, good.